Oh, this is a grim moment. The moment of...
when the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in New York City with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Skylarks, and Bing's guests, Joe Venuti, a fiddler, Ham Fisher, a cartoonist, and Fred Allen, oh yes, a comedian. Yeah. And now, for the last time this season, here's Bing Crosby, a singer.
Thank you, Ken. Say, this is our last broadcast until fall, isn't
it? Yes, it is, Bing, and you know, I want to find out something. Tell me, are we going to be back on the air for Philco next season?
I'd like to find out myself. I haven't heard from him.
Well, no news is good news, I always say.
Keep on saying it, kid.
Oh, really, Bing? I'm worried sick.
Well, Ken, our sponsors have invited us over to 21 for dinner after the show. If you really want to get in good with them, why, pick up the check. Everything will be fine.
Why don't you pick up the check?
You're the one that's worried, I know. But I don't think we should burden these folks any longer with our problems. Ken, right now I see Joe Venuti coming out. Mr. Venuti has just formed a very fine new orchestra. What do you call your band, Joe?
Well, Big, I call it Joe Venuti and his Ravioli Rhythm Rascals.
The Ravioli Rhythm Rascals.
Yeah, we go in for heavy stuff.
Yes, I see. Did you bring your orchestra with you, Joe?
I'm lucky to lug my violin around.
Well, lug it close up here, because we're going to give the folks a little of baby face. John Scott, let's go.
Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one can take your place. My little baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something, baby face. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a shove, 'cause I just fell in love with your pretty baby face.
Stylish assist, Joe Venuti. I wished I could go down to Evansville, Indiana, and catch your band act this week. Joe was really stroking it, wasn't he, Ken?
Oh, yes, I guess so.
You guess? What's the matter with you?
Well, Bing, I feel low tonight. You know how sentimental I am.
No, how sentimental are you?
Well, I'm very sentimental. You know that. Yeah. See, this is the last time this season I'll have a chance to talk about Philco radios.
Oh, nonsense, Ken. If you love Philco so much, take a fistful of commercials, go out in your backyard, and read them all summer. You don't need a microphone or nothing. Just holler them out. Have fun. Live.
Well, yeah, but who's going to pay me?
Oh, that's where the sentiment is, huh? I got to get you off that Al Jolson show. I can see that.
No, I'll tell you what, Bing. I'm so crazy about Philco radios, I'll talk about them all summer, whether I get paid or not.
Isn't he sweet? Isn't he? And folks, if any of you are hankering for a good old Philco commercial during the hot weather, you just drop over to Carpenter's backyard. He may even come up with lemonade, sandwiches, and everything.
Yes, and I'll start right now, Bing. My final Philco commercial is about the last word in gifts for graduations or June weddings. Philco's sensational new 602 Portable. This streamlined Philco Portable graduated from the Philco Laboratories with a diploma for powerhouse performance. Flip the switch and you've got any program on the air without a second's delay. Plays on trains and planes, at the beach, in the woods, on boats. And its long-life Philco battery gives you many more hours of playing at less cost per hour.
Lemonade, sandwiches, coffee.
No, Bing, please, not yet. Wait a while. Its sleek plastic cabinet makes the Philco 602 a real honeymoon special in your choice of four smart colors, ivory, tan, maroon, or blue-green. Give a gift with a lift to June graduates or June brides. A new portable radio from Philco, the leader.
A bit of philosophy set to music. It's turned out to be quite popular, too.
There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, but very wise was he. Then one day, a magic day, he passed my way. And while we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me: the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
Memory. How wonderful to hear that tune and not to have Bob Hope standing here. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Allen.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good evening, Bing.
Good evening, Fred.
Say, that applause had a lot of life to it. Did you sense it as I walked on?
It did, Bill.
The electric quality?
Did you
have it transcribed out in sunny California for release here in the gloom of West 48th Street?
No, Fred, that applause came from those lovely people sitting out there in the audience.
Really?
They're either glad to see you or they're trying to stir up a little air conditioning.
Well, we haven't told any jokes yet. Why should they want to condition the air already? The air is in rather bad condition. But, Bing, before we go any farther, where have you been hiding out since you've arrived in New York? Where have you been?
Hiding out?
Yes. I see your brother Everett around in the automat at Natick and all the other night spots, but I never see you.
Well, only one of us can afford to be a playboy. I come to the big city to work. Everett came to eat.
You know, I figured that, Bing. Any man who wears a charm bracelet with a full-size knife and fork dangling from it. He means business.
Oh, he's got dead aim.
Yes, he is up to no good calories. I could...
Everett's been a freeloader, Fred, from the day he was born. You know, legend has it that he ate the stork that brought him.
Well, I saw him in action down at Nino and Nella's the other night.
Yeah, he goes down to Nino and Nella's for barbecued goat.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, confidentially, Bing, he didn't stop with the goat. Nino is missing.
Oh.
And, Bing, that reminds me, I have a brilliant idea that will improve radio.
Yeah? What's your plan, Fred?
Well, with my plan, all of the shows would be reshuffled.
All switched around.
Mixed up. You know, Amos and Andy would switch to the fat man slot.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Godfrey would switch with Mr. D.A.
Mm-hmm.
The Fred Allen Show would change with Bueller.
Yeah.
Be a relief. Jack Benny would shift to Death Valley Days.
That's good casting. Yeah. Nice.
Lucy Monroe would come indoors and sing a duet with Bulliver. Now is the hour with Mr. Bulliver.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Durante would change with Groucho Marx.
What's the big idea?
Well, I think, Bing, everybody in radio should get lost. It's about time. I think so.
But other people think so, too.
Yes, it's...
This could become a trend, Fred. It looks ominous when you get...
The handwriting is on the sponsor.
Fred, we're all going to get lost for a while. Summer is here. Personally, right after this show, I'm shoving off for a 2-month rest.
A rest? Mm-hmm. Rest from what, Bing? You don't do anything all winter.
Oh, you're wrong, Chum. I put in a hard season. Fred, what are you going to do this summer? Are you heading for Maine as usual?
Unless I get an offer from Hollywood to make a picture.
You're heading for Maine, huh?
Well, reluctantly, I'm afraid you're right, Bing. Hollywood doesn't seem to appreciate me, but I do have a sensational idea for a picture.
And your idea?
Well, it's a new biography, something new. The movie screen, as you know, has been used to glorify the lives of many great men. Woodrow Wilson, Sergeant York, Edison, Man and Boy, mm-hmm. two parts, you know. Buster Crabbe. Abraham Lincoln.
Al Jolson.
And Red Skelton has glorified the Fuller Brush Man.
Just recently.
But being this really great American biography has yet to be put on the screen.
What is it?
The Crosby Story.
Oh, that could be frightfully dull. Frightfully. Well, Fred, I'm afraid now that could be a real dozer.
The Bing Crosby Story, maybe, but not the story I have in mind.
What's that?
The Life of Everett Crosby.
Brother Everett?
Yes, the man behind the man.
Yes, behind me is right. I wish he'd get out in front of me once in a while so I could watch him.
Now, you see, Bing, this very statement from your bona fide lips proves that Everett's story must be told. Now, even you don't appreciate what Everett has done to make Crosby.
What Crosby?
Everett Crosby.
Now, you're probably right, Fred, but what actor could be browbeaten into playing Everett on the screen?
I have just the man for it, Jack Benny.
Fred, Jack may be dying to do a picture, but I can't believe he's that desperate.
Bing, believe me, Jack Benny once played himself in a movie.
Yeah?
If he will stoop to that, he'll play Everett. Bing, you are too close to Everett. You don't appreciate the fact that he's really a man of great mentality, a man of great vision, business ability, foresight, hindsight.
He's got eyes there, too?
Yeah. Ripley has divulged that. There you go, belittling him again. Now, remember, Bing, if it wasn't for Everett, your career might have been a different story today.
Well, maybe I am wrong about the land, Fred.
You certainly are, Bing, and I can prove it. We'll do Everett's story right now. I'll play the title role.
Brave boy.
Yes, thank you. John Scott, you want my autograph before I start? Well, we'll start the Everett Crosby story. John Scott, trot out the overture, please.
Productions, if it's a pickle production, it's a dilly, presents Forever Everett, or The Man with the Eyes Back Yonder. Our story opens in Spokane, Washington, many years ago, when we first meet young Everett. At the age of 6, he was like any other normal 3-year-old American boy. Even at the age of 6, Everett had a tremendous appetite. From the outside, he looked just like a boy. But inside, he was an A&P warehouse.
My motto is, feed a cold and starve nothing.
Everett was also a musical child. He could play a guitar and he could sing.
I'm just a wayfaring stranger, a-traveling through this world of our woe.
Oh, Everett! Everett, come here!
Yes, Peter, what is it?
My boy, it's time I had a heart-to-heart talk with you.
Yes, Peter?
Son, why don't you take a powder?
No, Peter, I'm sticking around until Bing is born.
It wasn't long before the stork paid one of his frequent visits to the Crosby home. And Everett said,
just listen to that baby. What talent. I predict someday this baby boy will be one of the world's greatest singers.
The baby boy was my sister Catherine.
But Everett was patient and waited for Bing. While other boys his age were out taking long walks in the country and splashing in the old swimming hole, Everett was taking long walks in the local cafeteria, drooling and feeling the food.
Everett Crosby, I'm going to call the manager if you don't quit running your fingers through that succotash.
Now wait, I'm not running my fingers through it. I'm counting. You ain't putting enough corn in it. It's all sucker and no tash.
It wasn't long before the stork paid another visit to the Crosby home.
At last. Here I am, folks. Say, you over there munching on the stork. Who are you?
I'm your brother Everett. Bing, you need a manager. Here, sign this contract.
Wait till I learn to write.
Well, it's easy. Here, now take a hold of this pen, and I'll guide your hand. There we are. B-I-N-G. Isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Now, Bing, I better teach you to sing, too, you know, in case my pipes ever go bad.
Gee, where's Ev? I don't know if I want to be a singer. I'd rather be a lawyer or a doctor.
To be a lawyer or a doctor, you need brains. Remember, Bing, you are a Crosby.
Oh, yes.
As time passed, Bing's voice improved, and he got a job singing for his supper, which Everett ate. We find them now discussing a trip to Hollywood, which in those days was just Metro and Goldwyn. The town was so small it had no mayor.
I tell you, Bing. I tell you again, Bing, this is the big chance we've been waiting for. Now, there's a place in Los Angeles called the Coconut Grove. That means work.
Are we going to sing there?
No, we're going to pick coconuts.
The next day, the Crosby boys journeyed south to Los Angeles, and it was there that opportunity knocked for Bing. But Everett came to the door. When opportunity left, Everett turned to Bing and said,
Bing, Los Angeles is too small for us. I know where we'll go, to New York. They've got a new thing there called radio.
Radio? What's that?
I don't know, but it sounds like something to eat. Come on, let's go.
In New York City, all business is discussed at lunch, a custom which quickly catapulted Everett into a business tycoon.
Waiter, waiter, more bread. More bread there, waiter. Where's the waiter?
Everett, We have an appointment to have lunch with John Sims Kelly, the president of the Oyster Bay Broadcasting Network.
Oh, really?
You'll be finished lunch before he gets here.
Is there an hour in this month? Can we take it? Don't worry. Don't worry. I'll eat another lunch when John Sims gets here.
Here's Mr. Kelly now.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How do you do, Mr. Kelly?
Hello. Hey, waiter, more bread, more bread. Where's that waiter? Get more bread. It's the breadsticks, the long ones.
Excuse me, please, gentlemen. Here's your antipasto.
And now, here's the contract.
Just a minute. Hold that contract. What's this? One anchovy on an antipasto? Why, even Noah's Ark had two anchovies on it. I'm going out and see that chef. I'm a big businessman. I won't stand for this.
And so it went. The guiding hand of Everett Crosby shaped the destiny that was Bing's. Radio, records, personal appearances, motion pictures. No one in show business will ever forget one historic movie conference in the Brown Derby restaurant in Hollywood between the Crosby brothers and a famous director.
Bing, me boy, this idea I've got for you is one of the most sensational things that ever popped into me brain. I tell you, it'll make a wonderful motion picture. I'm calling it Going My Way.
Hey, Flannel Mouth. What was your name again?
McCary.
Never
you
heard
of McCary.
Never heard of it. Never heard of either of you. Pass the bread. Pass the bread. Pass the bread, somebody. Waiter, get me another Coke. Coke,
yes.
Got a Coke with the
yes.
bread.
Yes, at every Coke conference, there. At every conference, Everett was there. Right today in New York City, the center of the television industry, Everett is at Bing's side.
Ev, Mr. Carmine of Philco wants to see us and discuss a television show. Call up and tell him to meet us at Howard Johnson's for a hamburger.
Hamburger, nothing. I'm hungry. Let him meet us at the King of the Sea. I want a whale burger.
Thus it has been, and thus it will always be, as the brothers Crosby go down through the ages. But Bing lives in mortal fear that one day, when he's old and gray, he'll have to turn to Everett and say...
Ev, I'm an old man. I'm going to have to stop singing.
You double-crosser. You old tottering double-crosser.
Quavering.
You do, you quavering double-crosser. Triple-crosser. You do, and I'll have my revenge. Bing Crosby, you stop singing, and as sure as my name is Everett Crosby, I'll stop eating.
No, not...
Yes,
no.
Yes.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks very much. And now, while we await word from Everett's lawyers...
Well, don't worry, Bing. It's all very happy stuff tonight. And, P.S., how jumpy can you get? Well, you'll never know until you catch the smooth performance of a new 1948 Philco. And for a real gone radio phonograph, take a listen to the Philco 1253 at your dealer now. You can hear every riff, all the hot licks on radio or records. Tone... Oh, out of this world. Power, man, oh man, wait till you turn up the volume. Whether you go for bebop or buck, you'll get the finest performance you ever heard from a table radio phonograph. Now, don't take our word for it. Compare the 1253 and let your own ear be the judge. You'll find that Philco automatic record changer is a real smoothie, too. Changes up to a dozen records, slick, quick, and quiet. And it's plenty rugged. Won't get out of whack even if the kids get hold of it. All this at a price you'll never notice in your budget. Latch on to a new Philco 1253. It's tops in table automatics from the world's largest radio manufacturer. Philco, famous for quality the world over.
Here's a song from the new Walt Disney picture Melody Time. It's called Blue Shadows on the Trail.
Shades of night are falling as the winds begin to sigh. And the world is silhouetted 'neath the sky. Blue shadows on the trail. Blue moon shining through the the trees and a plaintive wail from the distance comes a drifting on the evening breeze. Move along, blue shadows, move along. Soon the dawn will come, and you'll be on your way. But until the darkness sheds its veil, there'll be blue shadows on the trail.
Shadows up the trail. I think I'd like to thank Fred Allen for dropping in, helping us to carry the ball across the finish line.
Well, thanks for that out-of-season football simile, Bing.
Not very timely, was it?
No, it's a little out of season. Say, you don't think Everett is going to be mad at us for short-ribbing him about his passion for food, do you?
Oh, no. This broadcast will probably get him the good housekeeping seal of approval.
Say, that's right. You know, he may become the first individual to be recommended by Duncan Hines.
Certainly.
People will point at him on the roadway.
Duncan Hines recommends this boy.
Well, it's
follow
getting
him and get the groceries.
Yes, he's got him on him. And say, it's getting late, Bing. I thought you said Ham Fisher, the cartoonist, was going to be on the show.
I've been standing around here, but nobody will talk to me.
Well, hiya, Ham.
Hi, Bing.
Well, Ham, this isn't television, you know. What are you going to do, draw a picture of Joe Palooka with a scratchy pen or...
Oh, no, Fred. Ham's got big news. Big news for the many followers of his comic strip.
Oh, really?
In tonight's papers, Joe Palooka finds his sweetheart, Anne Howe, after 2 years.
Really? What's that... got to do with Everett.
Well, Everett's a big palooka. I mean, he's a fan.
Oh, I see.
Big fan. Come on now, Ham. Don't keep us in such suspense. Give us the inside dope. When are Joe and his girl going to get married?
Eventually.
Say, why don't you just marry Joe off to little orphan Annie? That poor girl's had nothing but trouble for 40 years.
Well, Ham, really, before you go, I want to tell you we all think you're doing a grand job. And a comic strip like yours does a great deal to promote a healthy, humorous interest in athletics and sports.
Thanks, Bing. And may I say you're doing a grand job?
Look, we're all doing a grand job. Let's go home. Let's go home.
Well, you don't have to drag me, boy. Good night, Ham. Good night, Fred.
Good night,
folks. And thanks very much. You've been a very indulgent audience all season. We certainly appreciate it. Good night. Thank you very much.
This program was produced and transcribed in New York by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. On behalf of the Philco family, its distributors and dealers everywhere, we wish to thank our listeners and remind them that we'll be back next fall. Meanwhile, keep your eye on your Philco dealer for the newest thing in radio from Philco, the leader.